Welcome back to the show from the Stiefel Sports Studio. We've had a good one already. The CEO of the Blues, Chris Zimmerman, the general manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway at the Indy 500, Chris Blair. Now we go back to Indianapolis. Oh, what a night they're going to have. The Pacers and the Knicks will play Game 3 tonight in front of that raucous crowd with the Pacers up 2-0 and the radio voice of the Indiana Pacers, a KMOX alum, is Mark Boyle. Mark, it's great to have you back on the radio station. How are you?
I am well, Tom. How are you?
I am doing great. It's great. Tell me first, relive, if you will, your days here at KMOX Radio.
Well, literally, they were days. I came there in July of 88, and I left to go to the Pacers in September. So I can't remember the exact dates, but I was there 2 months, maybe. It was a place I always wanted to work because when I was growing up in Minneapolis, you know, you could hear it at night. And Jack Buck was doing games and Harry Carey was around and Dan Kelly on the hockey. And it was an iconic radio station. I always wanted to work there. But the way things worked out, I was only there for like 10 seconds.
But when you are a KMOXer for 10 seconds, you're a KMOXer for life. That's just the way it is.
So I appreciate that.
We take you in the family as well, and we appreciate all that you're doing representing us out there. And as the voice of the Pacers, you got yourself a heck of a basketball team. And let me start with this. One heck of a coach. I mean, this Rick Carlisle is something special. Tell me about your relationship with Carlisle.
Well, we go back to the late 90s. He came here as an assistant coach under Larry Bird. And he was in that role for the 3 years that Bird was the head coach. After that, he went to Detroit. He came back here as the head coach. He was here for 4 years in the early O's, and then he went to Dallas, had a great run where he won a championship, and now he's been here for the last few seasons. So I've known him for almost 30 years. He's a fascinating guy. He's a self-taught pianist. He's a licensed pilot. He's not a typical coach, if there is such a thing, in this specific regard. If you ask him a question, at least privately, if he trusts you, you'll get a very thoughtful answer. And it's not cookie cutter response. And I'll tell you this, Tom, about him. The thing that impresses me most, his record speaks for itself. He doesn't need me to advocate for him in terms of being a great coach. But when he was here back in the day, he was old school. He was very much a control freak, called all the plays from the sidelines. But as the game has evolved and changed, he's done the same thing. And now his team is free-flowing and running. He doesn't call any plays. He lets the players play. He's adapted to the mindset of the young player now without losing any of his expertise or his standards. He does have boundaries, and players have to adhere to them, but they're not nearly what they were before. And one of the reasons he's been so successful is because he's so good at adapting, which is not that easy to do.
That's well said. And I think that his teams do all the little things well. You know, it's a very good basketball team. And I think that in this day and age, we watch YouTube clips, SportsCenter clips, and we experience sports through clips. So we see Halliburton's shot. We see all the acrobatics and amazing plays. But wouldn't you agree, Mark, that this team is physical around the glass? They defend. They make key passes, share the ball. They do a lot of little things that you have to do to win. Maybe they've snuck up on some people, but they're as a complete team as anybody in the league.
I think maybe they've snuck up on the casual fan, but I don't think they've snuck up on anybody who's in the NBA. They know this team made it to the conference finals last season. They know they're explosive. They know they're well coached. And they do have an Achilles or two. Notably, they're an extraordinarily poor rebounding team, and that's been a problem even when they've been winning. But they're tenacious, they're competitive, they fit together beautifully, they play the game in a manner that's really hard to defend. And while they're not great defensively, they're good enough because they're so good in other areas. And it's a team effort. It's not just the coach being brilliant, which he is. It's not just the players being good and committed, which they are. And they do have Tyrese Halliburton, who has become a marquee player. That said, they're still more of an ensemble cast than most teams in the NBA. Parts are not interchangeable, but they're critical. When they started 10 and 15, it was in large part because they didn't have Andrew Nembhard and Aaron Nesmith, two players who are well-respected and well-known in the NBA, but I think maybe the casual fan is not at all aware of how important they are. And that's what I mean when I say it's an ensemble cast. They fit together beautifully. They play wonderful team basketball. They're fun to watch. I don't know how far they'll get. They might lose the next four, or they might not lose again and win the championship. Most likely something in between, but they're a delight to watch in large part because of the way they're coached and the commitment of the players.
A couple more things for Mark Boyle. What is it like to experience a silent Madison Square Garden, and let alone go to Madison Square Garden in a playoff atmosphere?
You know, Tom, I say this all the time. Madison Square Garden, this is a dichotomy, so follow along. Madison Square Garden is easily the biggest dump in the NBA. That said, it's easily the coolest arena in the NBA because of what goes on and how passionate the fans are, the history, the aura, the mystique. And we've seen this before. The Pacers and Knicks have had a long-standing rivalry. They played in the playoffs 8 times, 3 times in the conference finals. And if you get one in their building, it's like a library. When they're at their peak, when the Knicks are going well, it's hard to hear yourself think. And that's not unlike any arena, but Madison Square Garden, for some reason, it's just more fun if you're with the visiting team to hear it go quiet. And we saw that, especially in Game 1, when the Pacers staged another really unpredictable type rally to win that game.
Boy, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's one of the things about New York fans that works against them, is when things don't go well, it is really, really quiet. And when things do go well, obviously, it's an absolute party. And
well,
so,
you know what, though, yeah. Tom, it's not just the fans. Like, there is no better place to be a professional athlete when you're going well than New York. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there's no worse place to be a professional athlete when you're not going well than New York. After the Pacers won Game 1, the headline on the back page of the New York Post was "Choke 2.0." So if you're going well, it's just fantastic. You can do no wrong. You pay for nothing. Life is a dream. But if you're going poorly, it's a nightmare. And I think that that's sort of an East Coast thing, but it's more true in New York than anywhere else.
I agree. That back page was unbelievable with the choking signal of Reggie and of Tyrese. Mark Boyle is with us. One last thing. So now you come home, and you're playing the Knicks tonight in Indianapolis. I am an Indiana University graduate. I feel like I know Indiana fans very well. I've been to countless games in Assembly Hall. Tell me about the Pacer fan base.
Well, they're similar to most in that the loyal fans are loyal no matter what. But the difference here, and perhaps it's because it's a small market, the loyal fans are not nearly as large in number as they are in some other cities. So you'd be surprised. You know, everyone thinks this is the basketball capital of America, and they do love the sport here. But I'll give you an example. The Pacers have the lowest price tickets in the NBA, yet they still sell out less than half their games. So it's like any other city. There are exceptions, Portland being one. I think St. Louis with the Cardinals is an exception. But generally, if your team's not good, they ignore you here. If you are good, though, they're in your corner. In other words, what I'm saying, Tom, is this. It's like 98% of the fan bases in the United States. It's a bandwagon town. And if you're going well, the bandwagon doesn't have enough room for all the folks, and they are passionate. And on a day like today, when we have the Indianapolis 500 in the afternoon and a game at night, it's a madhouse here.
Oh, I totally get that. And I appreciate you being with us. I think that to get you on a game day is very special. Thank you for making the time. It's going to be a heck of a night and day in Indianapolis, as you mentioned, with the 500 followed by Pacers, Knicks. And it's great to hear your voice back on the radio station. When I was producing for Ron Jacober, I do believe we had you on a time or two, and I've heard you through the years. It's great to chat with you again.
Oh, I've been on with Ron. I've been on with Jim Holder. I've been on occasion over the years since I've been here. This is my 37th season here. And I will tell you this for future reference, since I am a proud alum, you can call me anytime and I'd be glad to be on.
It's great to have you on. Thanks a lot. Have a great day and good luck tonight.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Mark Boyle, radio voice of the Indiana Pacers. They've got the Knicks tonight. When we come back after the news, much more Lutz Vandensteel, John Mozeliak, Bernie Miklas on KMOX.